Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg. I'm here in a hotel room someplace in North Texas. I've been driving about 8 hours since about 11 o'clock this morning. I looked down at my watch and said, it's about time to pull off and get a hotel room and log in and get ready to introduce you to an author that's going to blow your socks off. So you will need your duct tape on tonight to be able to duct tape your socks on, because our guest tonight is an author supreme, that she has all kinds of books, and she has this interesting book that just came out, and we're going to be talking about that and letting her tell you what she's passionate about. And if you want to get involved, there's several different ways of doing it this evening. You can call directly at 888-627-6008, and you can talk to the wonderful staff, Thomas, or better known as TJ, at the BBS Radio, and he will be glad to patch you right in. You can get on the Facebook page, Shattered by the Darkness Facebook. You can get on there, or you can actually text me right here at 832-396-6525, your comment or your question, and I'll be glad to patch that on right to our guests this evening. But the best way probably is just don't be shy. Come right on in at 888-627-6008. I believe, if my calendar is right and my GPS is right, where I've been driving, I'm in Seminole, Texas, which is up by Lubbock, up by the New Mexico border. It is about 18 degrees here, which is freezing cold for Texas, but it's not too bad here in the hotel room. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'll be driving over and doing about 8 hours with the entire Seminole school system, all the teachers and administrators. I believe they have a day off tomorrow, but they're going to be training with me, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. First of all, we're going to talk about adverse childhood experiences. How do you communicate with somebody that has gone through a sexual abuse or trauma? We're going to be also talking about vicarious trauma. How, if you are a counselor, if you are a teacher, and you start dealing with somebody that has their own issues, does that bring up past issues of yours from years ago? Absolutely, it does. We're going to be talking about that. And then we're going to be talking about how to deal with de-escalating a situation in the classroom when you can see someone starting to get agitated, someone starting to get the fire going from a flicker to a flame. How do you talk to them, communicate with them, and the best tools to be able to de-escalate that situation? And then we're also going to end the day with how do you have some tools in your communication toolbox that we all need to have readily available to deal with different people that have gone through worldly trauma, environmental trauma, abuse trauma, and they have gone through something of their own pain and agony. And how do you talk to them? And how do you keep the classroom safe? And how do you keep that person in a situation to where they feel comfortable and that they feel safe to be able to de-escalate that back down in an environment where you may be the only one in the middle of a room of about 30, 35 children? So that's going to be an interesting day tomorrow. But tonight, we have a great program, and we're only going to take one break this evening, and that's going to be at the bottom of the hour in about 22 minutes. I want to bring in our guest tonight, Gail, and I'm probably going to mess up the name, but Lukasik, L-U-K-A-S-I-K, and she's written several books. But Gail, come on into the program this evening. And TJ, patch her on in. We can see her. You look great, Gail. Pronounce your last name for me.
Lukasik.
Lukasik. I knew if there's a way to mispronounce it, I would do it.
It's okay.
Gail Lukasik. But she has written a book that I want you to write down right now on a little notepad called What They Never Told Us. And wow. There it is,
there.
And the subtitle is True Stories. Tell us the subtitle of that book, Gail.
Yeah, it's True Stories of Family Secrets and Hidden Identities Revealed.
Wow. And Gail, you're not a lifelong writer, correct? You are a teacher?
No, well, I am actually pretty much a lifelong writer.
Okay, but you do have a degree in teaching?
Well, I have a PhD in English with a specialization in creative writing. But I have taught. I taught for many years.
Okay. So tell me, Gail, what in the past of your writing, because you're a very successful writer from years back, wrote several books. This one is unique because it's personal. True?
Well, can I back up a little?
Absolutely, please.
Great. This book is actually the follow-up book to my memoir, which is White Like Her, My Family Story of Race and Racial Passing. And that's a book concerned my discovery of that my mother was passing for white. And as a result of that book, I was on the Today Show. And when I was on the Today Show, a very interesting thing happened afterwards. Suddenly I received, I want to say, an avalanche of emails through my website from people, not just in the US, but around the world. And they were writing to me, a complete stranger, because they want to share their family secret. And many times the email would start something like, well, I haven't told anyone this, but I want to tell you. And I think the fact that I was on a national television program and I wrote White Like Her, they connected with me because I shared a very personal family secret that I didn't know about. I actually didn't make the discovery until I was 49 years old about my mother, who is from New Orleans, originally from New Orleans. I grew up in Ohio. And she never had any photographs of her father, Azima Frederick. And so I was between teaching jobs and I decided, this is 1995, I was going to do my own research. I wanted to find out about my grandfather. I've never seen a photo of him. So back then, there's no ancestry, right? So I had to drive to the Family History Center near me and I started going through census records. And I was having a heck of a time finding him. But finally, I located the 1900 Louisiana census records. And there he was, Azima Frederick. He was like, I think, 2 or 3 years old. But after his name and all the Fredericks, there was a letter B. So I thought, oh, my goodness, what does that stand for? So I trace it up to the column, and it was race. And that's how I made my first discovery. I was somewhat confused. I went to the woman who was helping us with the microfilm, and I just wanted to check it out. I says, it said B for race. I said, does that mean black? And she looked at me and she says, oh yeah, that's exactly what it means. And then is the strangest thing. She started talking about a certain type of candy that began with the letter N, N candy. I'm not going to say the word. And she just kept saying it like it was a joke. And I'm looking at her thinking, what is this woman talking about? And then she concluded by saying, you must be the woman with all the slaves in your family. I had no idea what she was talking about. So that was my discovery. That, and there's more to that story. If, you know, we can talk more about it, but that's what happened. And then when I confronted my mother, I wasn't able to talk to her. I grew up in Ohio. I live in Illinois. So I wasn't able to actually talk to her about this right away because my father became very ill. It wasn't appropriate. It wasn't the right time. So after my father passed in 1997, I had her come to my house and I asked her about it. And during those 2 years, I did a little more research. I thought maybe the census record is wrong. So I sent to the state of Louisiana and asked, I was actually writing as if I were my mother. And I said, I lost my birth certificate. Could you send it to me? And so when I got her birth certificate, on there for her race were three letters, COL, which I assume meant colored. Now, this is 1921, so that's how you would be referred to. So I wrote another letter to the state, asked them what that meant, and yes, it did. That's what it meant. So that's when my mother came to visit, that's what I asked her about. And at first she denied it. And then I said, Mom, I have some documents I'd like you to see. And then she got very quiet. And she said, you can never tell anyone till after I die, because how will I hold my head up with my friends? So my mother lived a long life. I kept her secret for 17 years. Then in 2014, I had an opportunity to go on Genealogy Roadshow. They were looking for family mysteries having to do with New Orleans. That was one of the cities. And I applied for the show. I was on the show. And they confirmed everything that I thought was true. My mother had been passing for white, and no one knew. No one in my dad's family knew. My brother and I never knew. She had kept it a secret.
When you did this show, was your mom already passed by then?
Yes, I kept her secret. The only people I told my husband, I told my two children, and I had a very good friend I told, and that was it. I kept that secret for 17 years. You know why? It wasn't my secret to tell. It was her secret. So I felt that I didn't have a right to do that. But I did. I was true to my word. I kept it for that length of time. And then, of course, I went big time. It was on television and it was all revealed, you know, what was going on. And that led, once I was the show aired, that led to my discovering my mother's lost family that I didn't know anything about. My grandfather had remarried and had a whole other family that I didn't know. They didn't know about me, so we had this big reunion. It was quite the story. And so that's when I wrote that book. I think people related to it. They said, "Wow, this woman got out there. She was on television. She shared this secret with everybody. I think I can trust her. I'm going to tell her my secret." And so this went on for a number of years. I kept getting these emails, but I was very busy with the book, so I didn't have a lot of time. And then finally, I decided maybe it's time for me to write a book and tell other people's secrets that they want to share, only if they want to share them. And so that was the idea behind that, was the inspiration for What They Never Told Us. There are 14 stories of people who find out a family secret that has to do with them. And they're very brave people, I have to tell you, very brave.
What was it like to discover something that you had never known, never heard, never fathomed, out of the blue? Did it
It
give
was.
you some type of I don't know who I am, or how was all that emotional dealing with that?
When I left that Family History Center, and this is in White Like Her, I talk about this. It's January in Chicago area, right? So it's cold.
Yeah.
I got into the car. I did not start it right away. I was so shocked and surprised. I sat in the car and I looked at myself in the rearview mirror and I said, who are you? When you walked into that Family History Center, you knew exactly who you were. You were a white woman. And when you left it, so I'm talking to myself, I wasn't sure what I was. So what happens when you make these kinds of discoveries that are hidden from you, you're forced to redefine yourself. You have to figure out. I mean, and you know, I was 49. My identity was solid. I knew exactly who I was. And people who are, you're looking at me, no one would ever guess anything but white woman, right? This is what I look like. So to have this happen, it took me a number of years to figure it out. Even when I wrote the book, part of the journey of the book is me trying to figure it out by tracing my mother's family back to early 1700s in Louisiana, where I discover an enslaved woman and I tell her story. So when you're putting your identity back together, you're also, especially for the people and what they never told us, is you're putting together parts of your family that are part of you. And so that's what I did. And it, even after the book came out and I was in a documentary and I was on television, it still took me another, I want to say, I don't know, 4 or 5 years till I was comfortable defining myself differently in terms of my race. Because up until that point, in fact, when I was on the Today Show, Megyn Kelly said to me, so how do you, now that you know your racial background, how do you define yourself racially? And I said, well, I'm a white woman with Black ancestry. And I had been saying that for a while because I'd been giving a lot of talks. And in fact, I said it at a talk I gave in St. Louis. It was a mixed race audience. And a Black woman asked me that. And I answered that way. And she said, that's the only answer you can give. And I'm glad you gave it. So I thought, okay, she's happy. When I gave that answer on the Megyn Kelly Today Show, about 2 weeks later, I get a very angry Black woman totally skewer me on Amazon. And she says, I don't think Black people should read this book, because guess how she identified? She did not honor her Black ancestry. Now, I was a little offended because she didn't read the book, and in the book I do. But then I started thinking, so what am I? Really, what am I? And then I realized it doesn't matter what answer I would give. Someone's going to be unhappy with me. They're just not going to like my answer. So it took me a while to get comfortable with an answer that I liked based on my DNA, based on what my mother's family went through beginning in the 1700s in this country, the kind of racial discrimination and what happened to them. And I want to honor that. So now I identify as mixed race. I know I don't look it. That's okay. And I know some people are mad at me for that. But this is what I feel that I should identify as.
What about your family, your immediate family? Mm-hmm. Do you have any siblings that was in the yes. same boat with you in this discovery?
No.
How was their responses and how did all of that gel okay. together?
I had a brother. He unfortunately died 2 years ago, a younger brother. And when I did confront my mother, that was one of the first things I said to her. I think I should tell my brother. And she said, I don't want you to do that. So I didn't tell him. And it not until after she died that, you know, that all came out and I was on the show and all that. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but it's in the book. There's a whole chapter devoted to my brother because we had a falling out after her death. And so I really wasn't aware of how he felt about everything. But we did reconcile, so which is a wonderful thing. And he was fine. He was okay. Our mom raised us right. I'll just put it that way. She raised us right. And good job, Mom.
There you go. And what life experience, life lessons did you learn from going through this discovery and dealing with it, and even the pros and the cons from other people saying good job, terrible job, you should have told us, you should have. What kind of life lessons did you learn from that personally?
I think I'm in a kind of a different situation than most people, like the people in my book, What They Never Told Us, when they make the discoveries, it's within the family and very personal. The way it happened for me, because I went so public, I was always under scrutiny. So there was always sort of a distance I had to keep and protect myself. And so I think that kind of changed my journey a little bit. I have to tell you, during that 17 years, you go on with life. So it wasn't like I was thinking about it all the time. I mean, ancestry did come out. I did some research. I found out in my mother's family there was a Civil War hero, a person of color, free person of color who served for the Union troops. I was very proud of this man. Leon Frederick. And so I made these little discoveries along the way, but I wasn't like it, life goes on. You're not constantly thinking about it. And as I said, no one's ever questioned me about my race because of my appearance. So it wasn't until it all went so public that it became front and center. I think for the people in the book, it's their journey's a little different in that my discovery wasn't that I had my one or both my parents weren't my biological parents. My parents were my biological parents. I think for them in the book, when they discover that one or both of their parents aren't their biological parent, it's a different journey. It's still a hidden secret, but it's much different. But though I think we did share the sense of a little bit of betrayal, not knowing the full story, though, believe me, I was never angry with my mother, ever. I totally got it. I knew what she was doing.
And when you write a book about a family secret like this, and you title it White Like Her, I mean, you didn't sneak through the door. You kicked it in and say, here it is, world. How did you prepare yourself for that? And then how did that prime the pump for you preparing these other folks in this latest book of, hey, this is going to happen. This is what you need to have. How did all of that come together
I think I
too
was
in the middle of this big puzzle?
I think I was a little naive when I wrote the book. I was so excited about writing it, and I'd just been on, Genealogy Roadshow, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is such a great story. I want people to hear this story. I want to share it. I had kept a secret so long. So I think I really was not prepared for what was to come. So when I did interview the people in What They Never Told Us, I don't know that I prepared them. They had already processed a lot along the way, and I think they were, because they had processed it, though they, believe me, they're still processing it. Almost every single one said that. I probably will be processing this for the rest of my life. But they were in a better place than when they originally made the discovery. They had really gone through a lot. So I don't know that I had to do too much for them. And I really explained to them, though, that this was a book. I'm going to tell the whole story. I did, when I interviewed them, I did it on Zoom. So it was recorded. So I had everything they said, it was totally accurate. And I don't know, I did this book a little bit differently than maybe someone else might, because I'd been through it. When I'm telling a story of one person, sometimes I would interject what I was feeling at that time. Or there's one story in the book, Brad Yule's story. He never knew. He didn't find out till he was in his 40s that he was adopted. So both parents were not his biological parents. And By the time he went in search of his biological parents, that's usually what people do to heal, if they want to put themselves back together. He made quite a shocking discovery. His biological father was still alive, but he was serving a life sentence for murder in Angola prison in Louisiana, and Brad is a cop. So, I mean, this is like a Hollywood movie, right? Yeah, I won't go into too much detail because I think people would love this story. What happens? It's really a story of redemption and inspiration. But one part is not as inspiring. By the time he made his discovery, his biological mother was dead. So there's a section where he talks about lost time, how much time he lost, and he'll never get to meet the woman who gave him birth. And when I was transcribing his story, my brother was dying. And usually I'm a very hard worker, so usually I'll do the transcription almost right away and I'll finish it. I had to stop. I got to that part and I was so personally upset over what was going on in my own life and hearing about lost time that I actually took some time off and came back. And I put that in the book. You know, when you're writing a book like that, right? You can't stand outside of it. I felt like I was in their shoes. I was there with them. And I'm looking at their faces because you'll go back when you record something and you'll look in their eyes and you can sort of experience their pain. So I try to put that in the book so that, and so far everyone who's read their story has been pretty happy. I haven't heard from everybody, but everyone that's contacted me said, very accurate. You got me totally there.
That's great. Did when you discovered your mystery in your childhood, in your teenage years, was there seems like there was something missing? Was there a lamp in your step emotionally of something's just not, or was it just a complete out of the blue blindsided?
It was definitely complete out of the blue. However, my mother had these quirks. And I just, you know, you're a kid, right? You just say, oh, that's just my mom. She's just quirky. And her quirks were she would never go out in the sun. She always had to have a big hat, sometimes gloves. When she would go to bed, sometimes she'd wear a little light foundation on her skin. And when I got to be a teenager, I did ask her. I said, "Mom, why are you wearing this foundation?" Here's what she told me. She said, "Gail, you never know when you'll get sick in the middle of the night, and you'll have to be rushed to the hospital. And you want to look good because you'll be treated better." Now, come on. I bought it
Yeah.
though. I mean, I don't do it, but I just thought, okay, sure.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What? We're going to take, we're down at the bottom of the hour already. On the other side of this commercial break, Gail, I want you to show the book again, and then I want you to share with our listeners what you want to read to them from
Okay.
the book. And then why you picked that section. 888-627-6008. What they never told us. And we're going to dive deep and drill deep into that book right after this very short, I think it's a minute, 30-second commercial break. Hang with us and feel free to comment at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
All right, welcome back. Tell you what, I'm getting ready to release my third book. Gil, how many books have you have underneath your resume and CV and things of that order? How many is in your repertoire?
Well, I started out, I started as a poet, actually. So I have a book of poetry on Amazon you could check out. But I have 5 mystery novels.
Wow.
And I have 2 nonfiction, which we've been talking about this evening, White Like Her and What They Never Told Us. So those are, so who was that, 7, 8 books, something like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. In the mystery novels, before we get into What They Never Told Us, what author that everybody would know of, that enjoys that author's books would enjoy your mystery books, that it kind of not mirrors, but is similar?
Ooh.
Is there any?
Ann Cleaves, the Vera books, and the Jimmy Perez books. Cleaves is a British writer. I think we both write traditional mysteries with a very strong female character, though she has a new one with a male character. But yeah, I think that would be close.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have any more of those books coming out?
No, I just finished this one. I'm thinking about it, but you know.
It wears on you, doesn't it? It's a lot of hard work.
Oh, it is. Very much so. Yeah. Yeah, it gets harder. It doesn't get easier. I have to say that.
Well, show the world this new baby of yours right here, What They Never Told Us, the cover of that book again, so they can see that beautiful, beautiful cover. True Story of Family Secrets and Hidden Identities Reveal.
Yep.
The author of White Like Her. And it's a beautiful book, Gail. Now, what do you want to share with our listeners tonight that you want to read from this book?
Yeah, and thank you for allowing me to read from the book. I think it's important for your listeners to get a taste of the book, you know, what's the writing like and all that. So I'm going to read a very short excerpt from the last chapter, which is called Strangers Keep Telling Me Their Secrets, which they still are, by the way. So I have to do a very short setup. So this last chapter, I relate an incident that took place at a conference I was attending, and the conference was Untangling Our Roots. And the year I went was the first time that they ever brought together adoptees, donor-conceived people, and non-parental event people all together. And there's actually the 3 demographics I talk about in the book. So it's the first day of the summit, and I'm sitting at my author table. I've been there for now a few hours, and I'm about ready to leave. And so this is where I'm going to pick up.
Okay.
Suddenly, as I'm packing up, a woman is standing in front of my table, maybe in her mid-30s, though I'm a terrible judge of age. Brown hair, casually dressed. There's an edge to her. Her lanyard is twisted, so I can't see her name or what state she's from. "You're the reason I came," she says emphatically. "I wasn't going to come, but I saw your name, and I drove here from central Illinois." From the intensity of her gaze, the way she leans in, her hand resting on one of my books, I sense she desperately wants to tell me something. I'm both pleased but wary. My mother's story sometimes elicits unexpected emotional reactions from people. The woman's gaze drifts away toward the DNA Angels booth. As she gathers her thoughts, I wait. Then she looks at me and begins to tell me her story. 2 weeks ago, I got my DNA results. Shocker. My dad's not my dad. I asked my mom about it. At first, she wouldn't tell me. Then she did. It happened while she was separated from my dad. She had an affair with this guy she knew. She thought she couldn't get pregnant. I guess she was wrong. I'm just glad my dad's no longer here. Do you know who your birth father is? I ask. After almost 2 years of interviewing people who've had these parental discoveries, the question comes easily. She scoffs. It's a small town. I know who he is. As soon as I found out, I marched over to his house, knocked on his door, and told him I was his daughter. He told me to leave and not come back. End of story. Her mouth is tight with anger and hurt. I'm sorry, I say. Of all the people's stories of parental discoveries I've listened to, none of them were so recent and so raw. Look, I'm a businesswoman. I run my own travel agency. People looked for me, work for me. I can handle this. She pauses. I'm not sure if I'm going to stay. I just want to meet you. You might want to stick around and check out some of the panels, I offer, believing that the panels might help her. I don't know. Thanks anyway. It's the second day of the summit, late in the afternoon. There's a line of people waiting to buy my book, probably because they attended my author panel. The line starts to dwindle. I look up after signing a copy of my book and see the woman from yesterday. She waits until everyone leaves. I thought I could handle this, but I can't. She starts to cry. I hold her hand while she cries. There's nothing else I can do except to say, it's good that you stayed. From my own discovery experience and from listening to others with similar experiences, I know the difficult journey that lies ahead for her as she begins putting the pieces of her identity back together. As I hand her my card, I tell her to email me via my website if she wants to talk. I never hear from her again. When I think about the stories in this book and the bravery of the people sharing them, I think about what the novelist Sigrid Nunez said at the end of her novel, The Friend. What we miss, what we lost, and what we mourn, isn't this what makes us who deep down we truly are? From these splintered pieces of who we once thought we were, we heal and forge our new selves. And that's how the book
Wow.
ends.
Wow. I highly recommend this. And it may surprise people after they read this that there's a secret that they had hidden and it resurfaced. Have you had people that have contacted you after reading this book of saying, oh, my lands, I didn't even know until I read it, and then it spurred up something that I was told, and then I investigated. But is there those stories just one after another?
You mean have people like after reading the book contacted? Well, the book just came out at the end of November. However, the site Goodreads, people can comment about your book. So again, a person I don't know who she was. She did write a review. And she really liked the book, and what she said was that she's adopted, and that for the first time in her life, after reading these stories, she felt normal. And that made me feel so good. She felt normal. She could really relate to the stories and they helped her. And that's what I want to see happen with this book. That people who find out these things, either they're adopted, they're donor conceived, they're a different race, whatever it is, that they can relate to these stories. And these people, we go on the journey with them. We see it's sort of like a mystery novel. They make the discovery, then they go in search of the biological parent or in search of help. How can I heal? How can I get myself back on track, put these pieces back together? So I think in that respect, the book is going to hopefully help a lot of people.
And there's a variety of scenarios. I think you
Oh,
did a
yeah.
great job
Yeah.
of selecting. I don't know how many you had to choose from, but selecting, they're not all the same story. Of course, no,
No.
none of them would be, but it's great variety of the mix of an unbelievable type of people that you talk about and share their stories with.
Yes, I agree
Is
with
there
that.
another one of those that you have, like, another bag full of people that you want to reveal to the world that you'd love to be able to share their secrets in volume two of this?
No, you know what? I think I'm done with this. I think it honestly, it took a lot out of me to write it. In some ways, I don't know if you'll agree with
I
this,
bet.
but it was harder to write this book than writing my own memoir about my mom and me. I think that came easier because maybe I had lived it and I'd been with it for so long and it just needed to come out. This was different. I had to, like you said, there's a variety in there. So I had to enter each of those stories and feel those things with them to be honest on the page. And then there's always the concern, am I doing this right? Am I being accurate? Am I honoring the story I'm telling? And that was extremely important to me. So that took a lot out of me. And yeah, so no, I'm done with that.
Did you let them read it before you sent it to the publisher?
No.
So you're, yes, I can see how the difficulty and the weight of their secret was on your back. And I'm not for sure I'd want to go down that journey the first time, let alone another book. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
But wow, you want to do it justice, plus you want them to feel, hey, this is the real. This is the real depth of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful job.
Thank you. Thank you very
How
much.
did you come up with that idea?
Of doing the stories.
Sharing their stories.
Like I said, I wanted so many people to contact me, so I thought, well, maybe the next nonfiction book should be about other people's story. But when I sat down to write the book, I didn't use the stories that people had written me. I went to a resource. This woman's name is Kara Rubenstein Darin, and her story is in the book. And she is the founder of Right to Know, meaning right to know your genetic identity. So I started with her. I contacted her. I learned about her. And she was sort of the conduit to other people because this is what she does. She has this organization that deals with people who make these discoveries. And if you go to her website, you'll see she has amazing resources for anyone. And she has a phone number. If you're in distress, you go ahead and call. She'll get you to the person that you need to talk to. So she was the way I started. And it's like anything else. You talk to one person and then they say, oh, I know a story. Maybe let me talk to my friend here who has the same thing and see if it's okay. So that's how it all built. It just kind of blossomed that way. And then I had other friends who are writers and told me stories that they knew and said, why don't you talk to this person? So it kind of just blossomed that way.
Do you recommend people going back and doing these DNAs and saying, hey, wait, I've always thought, is this something that you highly recommend, or do you have a beware of what that journey may take you to? Well, what's your stance on that?
I don't, first of all, I try not to give people advice about anything. I'm very careful. I mean, if people ask me a resource, I'm happy to help them with that or ask how did I do something, I will tell them. But I don't give it. All I would say, and I think this is because so many people are doing the DNA. And in fact, in 2019, I think the number is there were 26 million Americans who took DNA tests. And based on that number going forward from 2019, it's estimated eventually 100 million people will do this. And of those 100 million, they estimate 4 out of 10 will make this kind of discovery. So that's a lot of people. So my advice, if it was me, just be prepared. I mean, most people do the DNA, they're just doing it for fun. That there I have stories in the book about, oh, it was a Christmas gift, or we're going to go back to Africa and find our roots, and then they find something else. So just be prepared. Just be prepared that whatever happens, happens, and you'll find a
And
way
my
through.
recommendation would be read your book
Yeah.
first before you take that
That might be good.
DNA test,
Oh, I
because
doubt they will, but
I think that would be good wisdom,
yeah.
because none of these people knew what they were getting into, correct? If I've
No.
read it right.
No, that you remember I spoke earlier about Brad. Him and his wife gave each other the DNA test for Christmas gifts, just for fun. And then he finds out he's adopted. His biological father's a murderer. I mean, come on. And Kara, who's in the book, she grew up believing, and it's what she was told, that she was biracial, white mom, black dad. And she's the one who wanted to take the DNA test, her and her black father, to go and trace their roots back to Africa. She gets the results. And she, by the way, I should say that she fought for her black identity. And I mean fought her entire childhood. She used to carry a photo of her black dad with her because people didn't believe she was biracial. She'd show him. So anyway, she takes the test. Yeah, she's half white, but she's not half black. The other half is Ashkenazi Jew. So her black father was not her biological father. So that just sent her on a whole other journey. Yeah.
Great, great story.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to share with us? I want to Thomas at the BBS, if you wouldn't mind putting the link straight to this book when we post this on the web page and send it out. I think that would be great tool for people to have, but they can actually type in Gail, Gail. And then your last name, Lukasik, in Amazon and all your books. TJ's saying it's already there on the guest page. So he's doing his homework and he's one of the best in the
Oh,
business.
awesome.
So it's already there, Gail. So people can actually go in there and punch it, or you can get right on Amazon and search for all the other books
Yeah.
you have done. And I want to have you show the book one more time
I'm
because it's
sure.
beautiful. The cover.
There.
Picture in on that cover, share with me who that little girl is.
I don't know where they got these photographs from.
So this is the people that's the book's about, that's
No,
on the cover.
the publisher came up with this. I have no idea who these people are.
Oh, okay. So
Yeah,
it's
there are
just
no,
random
I
people.
wish there were photographs. I've been writing some articles where I'm able to put photographs of people who agreed to be have their photograph used. As some people in the book opted not to use their real names for privacy. So there are pseudonyms for some stories, but other people were fine with it. They wanted their names used. Some were real adamant about it. No, I want my name there.
Yeah, that's another can of worms.
Yeah, it is totally.
To do it anonymously is completely different than saying, hey, this is who I am, this is where I work, this is the town I grew up in, and
Yeah.
this is my story.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a personal choice, right? I
Boy,
mean, I'm fine
that could
either
be a
way.
wave of emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What was the biggest surprise? In the last minute or two that we have on the show, what was the biggest surprise that came to you in your discovery?
I think the biggest surprise was my grandfather's second family and reuniting, or not really reuniting because they didn't know I existed, but uniting with them. And after they saw me on Genealogy Roadshow, a cousin I didn't know I had emailed me 3 days later. And I see this email. I'm up early, I have my coffee, I'm reading this email. And she said, I saw you on the show. My name's Stephanie Frederick. I'm your cousin. My father is Azima Frederick Jr. I want to tell you we want to welcome you to this family. And I sat there and I sobbed. At that point in my life, all my aunts and uncles were dead. I suddenly had an uncle. And I ended up having an uncle and two other aunts that I didn't know about and a whole slew of cousins. So they decided to give me a party in New Orleans that April 2015. My husband and I flew down. We met all the Fredericks. They came in from all over the country. We had the best party in New Orleans. You ever see? It was awesome. Yeah, it was amazing. And you know, my mom had passed the year before, and I sat with my two aunts and my uncle, and I just kept staring at them. My mother looked so much like them. It was like she was in the room with us at that dinner. It was just so emotional.
That had to be. That had to be a heart a wrencher.
Oh, it was unbelievable. But you know, if I hadn't been on that show, I never would have met these people. Never.
Did you think that's a divine moment?
I do. I actually feel my mother was guiding me from being on the show to meeting them to writing the book. I think she was with me every step of the way. She couldn't tell her secret, but she wanted me to. She wanted me
she
to
let you
tell
live through it.
Her life. And I did. And I honored her.
Yes,
I truly.
Beautiful. White like her. And
oh, I can show you that cover too.
Yeah, please.
That's my mom.
There you go. The family story of race and racial passing. White like her. And then what they never told us. I highly recommend both these books and get them. And you never know. It may open up a closet in your life and reveal some things that and show you how to deal with it in your own life. Gail, thank you for being with us tonight. I appreciate you sharing your story with us and sharing your story with all of our listeners.
Thank you for having me on your show.
And a beautiful, beautiful writer. I highly recommend both of these books. I have not read The Murder Mysteries, but I totally recommend both of these. Thank you, Gail, for being with us this evening.
Thank you.
I'd like to do each and every week when we close off the show. And here I am in Seminole, Texas, North Texas, and we'll do it like this tonight from a hotel room. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you discover in your world, no matter what you discover in your genealogy or in your family, I want to let you know there's always, always hope. And you always want to hang on to that. Grab it, pull yourself up, and there could be a reason for what you're going through. Never give up on hope. Thank you for joining with us. Be with us next week. We're going to have Landon and Bob from Bob's House of Hope in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. And in a few weeks, we're going to have Dave Pelzer back from Child Called It. We'll be back with us for his last of the trilogy interview. So you don't want to miss any of those programs. And who knows, we may have Gail on again in the recent weeks coming soon. So join us right here for another live edition from the beautiful town, city of Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless you. Have an awesome week and sneak in here. Stay warm. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you for being with us. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.